You're listening to 1440 in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, visit 1440.com.
And so then it goes on to Peter's sermon regarding what had just happened to them. It said, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk men, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel.'" And so then he speaks what the prophet said. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions. Your old men shall see dreams. And my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders of signs in heavens above." Now, if you go back to the scripture in Joel, it says that I will pour out my spirit. And then when you turn to Acts, it says I will pour out of my spirit. What's the difference of that one little word? In the Old Testament, he poured out his spirit because Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet and left his Holy Spirit with us. But when Jesus went to the cross and took everything with him like we had nailed tonight, he left with us his Holy Spirit. So then he says, "Out of my spirit, it will come on flesh." So all these things will come to pass out of my spirit. Where is his spirit right now? It's in you. So many times we think, "Lord, let your presence fall on me." And yes, we are in his presence. But sometimes we wait for things to manifest till someone lays hands on us, till someone prays for us, or until someone initiates what we would call a move of the spirit. But that is right inside of you. You don't have to wait for someone to come to lay hands on you. You don't have to wait when you're out in public for someone older and more mature to step out in faith of you, and then you follow along and say, "Yeah, that was a good idea. Let's go pray for them." It's right there inside of you. And when I saw that, I kept going back. I'm like, I will pour out my spirit out of my spirit. And as I started to think about that, the Lord's very specific. That's not a typo. It wasn't, "I will pour out my spirit," and then, oops, I added an extra letter. It was, "I will pour out of my spirit." And so when it continues to say, "Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions, and they will dream dreams. And the spirit will fall on everyone," not just the kings and the priests, but on the servants. It will fall on everyone. And so that's what the prophet Joel was speaking about in the Old Testament. And that's what happened when the tongues of fire had fallen on the people's heads. And so this isn't just old Bible times. This is what we have at our hands. This is what's in us. This is what we have available at all times. You don't have to come to 1440 to tap into this. You don't have to come to church to tap into this. You are the sons and daughters that will prophesy. You are the sons and daughters that will dream dreams and have visions. That's you. He's not a respecter of persons. He's not going to say, "Oh, I will do it for you, but I won't do it for you." He said it will pour out on all flesh. And then from that flesh, it will come out. And so you're distributors of that. You are his sons and daughters, and you are the distributors of his grace to everyone that you come in contact with. And so he kind of took me on a little journey in the word. Romans 8:10 says, "And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die one day because of sin, the Spirit gives life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you." That same Spirit that gave power to his body, that raised him from the dead, it lives in you. It is operating in you. It is functioning in you. "And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by that same Spirit living within you." So that same power that raised him from the dead, same yesterday, today, and forever, it's that same Spirit that's dwelling in each and every one of you that have made him Lord of your life. In 2 Corinthians 3:4, it says, "We are confident of all this because of your great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. He has enabled us to become ministers of this new covenant. This is a covenant not written by laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. So this new covenant that it speaks of, it says, you are ministers. So many times people say, I don't know what I'm called to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Am I supposed to go to college? Am I supposed to get a job? If it says I'm a minister, does that mean everybody has to go to Bible school? Does that mean everybody has to become a pastor? No, you are all called to be ministers, to be disciples of his new covenant message. You are put on assignment. So yes, you pray about, Lord, where is my assignment? Where am I to be placed? But you are called to be a minister of his gospel. He placed all of this in you so that you could have everything you need. It says right there, we're not qualified to do anything on our own. Jen's not qualified to do this. But with his power in me, he qualifies me. He enables me. He puts it in me as an empty vessel, ready to be filled by him to redistribute for him. And so that's what each and every one of you are. Those things that we nailed to the cross, that's what you're emptying out of you. That's what you're getting rid of. That's what you're making room for other stuff to come. You're making room for these things to happen. If you're distracted by things that are holding you down, you're going to be thinking about those things and not open to those dreams and those visions. We say, Lord, why doesn't that happen to me? But so many times we have so many other noises turned up so loud in our life that we think we can't hear him, but really he's speaking. We just got to turn some things down. We got to clear some stuff out. I'm on this little journey right now. It's called the 21-day cleanse. It's a whole lot of fun. It's fruit and vegetables for the last 10 days. Today's day 10. Lots of fun. And this whole time I'm thinking, why did I do this again? And when I'm around people eating, oh gosh, can I eat in front of you? Yes, eat in front of me. The Lord didn't call you to do the cleanse. I'm not going to make everyone around me uncomfortable or can't eat because I can't eat. But it reminded me that I'm doing this to get rid of stuff that's built up, to get rid of junk, to get rid of things that I've put in that I probably shouldn't have eaten, to get rid of toxins that build up. What does this have to do with this? Sometimes we just got to clear out the junk, clear out that movie we watched that we regretted watching, clear out that music. You ever get a song stuck in your head and you're like, I didn't even listen to that today and I woke up with it in my head. Yes. That happened to me the other day. I thought, I haven't listened to Pink in forever, and how her song is stuck in my head, I do not know, but I don't want Pink in my head today. And it was one little phrase, but you go to the grocery store, you go out and about, and there's just stuff around. I'm not saying don't go to the grocery store because they might play music that you don't like. That's not what I'm saying. I was flipping the radio stations the other day, and I remember flipping and heard her song and continued on flipping. And that's how it got in, was that same song a couple days later popped up in my head. Wasn't edifying by any means. So you have to consciously get out some stuff that's been stuck in a while or that you don't know how to get rid of. And that's why by faith, you get rid of it. You say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. I can't do it on my own. I'm not qualified to get rid of this sin on my own. You can't take sin out. You can't reach into your heart, grab the sin, and throw it out. But he can. When you let him come in, and you let him do the work, and you open yourself to him, I opened my mind to this cleanse. I did not, who wants to eat fruits and vegetables for 21 days? Awesome. Just try it for two and then come back to me. But now I'm used to it, and now it's becoming a habit. And the Lord showed me, Jen, it takes 21 days to develop a habit, but sometimes it can take one day to break it. I can go throughout this 21 days developing this habit, and one decision could cancel out this whole thing that I'm working towards. And so as we go out our daily lives, we have this habit, getting in the Word, worshiping our God. But it's our daily decisions, those little decisions of what radio station I'm going to listen to, what television show I'm going to watch when I'm flipping the channels. The other night I'd come home. I'd been gone all day. I was exhausted. I just wanted to sit down and just have some mindless activity. Just watch TV. There was nothing on TV, but I kept like flipping channels trying to find something that I might like. And I landed on something, and a few minutes later I thought, what am I watching? And I just turned it off and was like, I'm going to bed. I'm going to go read. But my flesh wanted to sit there, be lazy, do nothing, just watch something mindless. But my spirit was like, come read the word. Come spend some time with the Lord. And so I got in my room. I turned on my worship music. I started to read. I started to pray. And that was the mindless activity that my body and my spirit really needed. Not sitting there in front of the TV with mindless activity. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the TV, but you know when you're doing something and the Lord's tugging at you. Come spend time with me. You're tired? I'll give you rest. You're hungry? I'll fill you up. You're thirsty? You won't thirst anymore. But it takes that conscious decision of, Lord, I'm going to lay some of this aside. I'm going to lay my favorite foods. I'm going to lay some things that I didn't think were my favorite foods that are now sounding really, really good aside so that I can clean myself out and develop good habits. And so we got to do that spiritually. We got to find out what are some of those things that are reoccurring. We nailed stuff to the cross, but how many times have you nailed some of those things to the cross before? Lord, forgive me for this. Lord, forgive me for that. I'm sorry for doing this. I won't do it again. And you probably nailed it up here tonight because you're relying on your own strength to do it. I didn't have you nail it up here just to go through some motions. I wanted you to see that when it says I nailed it to the cross, he literally took it away. What you wrote down is no longer in your hands. It's up on the cross nailed. You're not going to get it back. He wouldn't give it back to you. But you could go up there and you could take it back if you wanted. But that's not my hope for any of you, that whatever you nailed up here, that you did it knowing that he can take care of it. You can't, but he can. And that's what we're talking about tonight. This, I want to be more like you. You can be more like someone by spending time with them. I find the more I spend with some of my closest friends, I become more like them. And then I spend some time away or spend some time with another friend and I become more like them. It's the same with the Lord. If you're not spending any time with him, you're probably not becoming more and more like him like you could be. He's still in you. He didn't leave you. But just like a friend, you spend time with them, talking to them, hanging out with them. He should be the one that we run to share our problems with. The other day I was trying to make a decision and I started calling people. I had some symptoms. I even went to the pharmacist and I thought, why am I even going? My first reaction is to go to a doctor and say, what's wrong with me? It doesn't matter what's wrong with me. If it's not right, then it's not him, and he wants to take it out. And that's another reason we took communion today. Within the first 2 hours of waking up this morning, I had 5 different people texting me saying, I can't make it tonight. I have 101 temp. And it was 101 temp with multiple people. And then a flu symptom came, and someone else saying, I have a fever. And it was over and over and over again. And I thought, this has got to stop. That's not the Lord's will, that people would have to stay home from church because they have a fever and they're cold and they're in bed trying to get well. It's his will that you're strong, that you're healed. Why? So that you can go do these things he's saying that you can do. You don't have to wait for me to come and lay my hands on you. Now, there's power of agreement, and there's an impartation of laying on of hands. But that same thing is inside of each and every one of you. If you go down a few verses in the scripture I just read in 2 Corinthians, verse 12, it says, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness in our speech. Because of this hope, because of our qualification, that's where we can get our boldness. Boldness of who we are in him. I remember when I was at school, there were some bold people. They stood up for some bold things. And a lot of it wasn't right. I mean, you got your groups. You got the skaters. You got the athletes. You got the goths. You got the nerds. I mean, you can just stereotype pretty much everybody. But I remember I went to Boswell a couple years ago, and it was during Spirit Week. And boy, do they know how to dress up. And there are some people very bold and what they were wearing, and I thought, wow, I would never wear that. I mean, you got capes, and you got antlers, and all kinds of weird stuff going on. But they didn't care what anybody thought. They were, what they would say, I'm being myself. This is who I am. But you got Christians walking around kind of timid, kind of shy, not really sure who they are, or they're sure, but they don't really want other people to know. If you're not standing out, you're probably not standing up for something. If you're blending in, you're probably not making that impact. I'm not saying you have to go around and wear the Jesus shirt and be screaming up and down the halls, praying in tongues in your math class. But I am saying to be bold for who you are. If there's someone that's hurting, you go pray for them. If you see someone who's crying at school, you don't just walk by and say, oh, that's too bad. But you stop and you ask them if there's okay or if there's something you can do for them. Or if there's a fight, instead of talking about it, maybe don't talk about it and don't spread it. Sometimes what you don't say is just as much an impact as what you do say. And so let each day be a walk with the Lord. Let it be an adventure, saying, Lord, have your way. I want to be just like you. What would you do in this situation? Would you say something or would you keep your mouth shut? Tonight, Elizabeth said something. There's a lot of drama going on at school. And I thought immediately, sometimes we have to stand up and defend people who need defending at school. And sometimes you just don't join in the conversation. You don't respond. If someone says something that everyone's laughing at, but you know that's not funny, sometimes the greatest impact is to just not do anything at all. Your actions are going to speak louder than your words a lot of the time. So I'm not saying you got to go around with the megaphone talking really loud. Because what people are going to notice is what you do with your life, how you act. And that's what's going to reflect your Father when you say, I'm a Christian, or I serve the Lord. And so when I was reading this scripture tonight, it then goes on to say, verse 17 and 18, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty is freedom. That Spirit's right inside of you. I know there's some of you who are like, I just want to get free from this. I just want to let it go. I don't want it to come back. But that Spirit came in to flush everything else out. And that's where that freedom is. It's already inside of you. It's you standing in faith when that bad thought comes. Well, remember that last time you watched that on the internet? Remember that last time when you were with your girlfriend? And he tries to remind you of these things that you've done before. And then you start to think, oh, I'm not forgiven anymore. Because I'm thinking about it. Because I feel guilty. Your feelings have nothing to do with it. Even if you feel guilty about something, there's no condemnation with the Lord. So when you cast it over to him, when you nail it to that cross, that's where there's freedom. Letting it go. Saying, Lord, have your way with me. Spending time in his presence. That's where the freedom lies, is right there, right inside of you. He's just crying out, spend time with me. You have everything you need to be everything you want to be. But sometimes we have all these tools, but we don't go in the toolbox and we use them. It just takes opening it up, tapping into it. Mark 16:15, it says, let me turn to it real quick. Can't memorize that one quite yet. Mark 15:16. No, 16:15. This is called the Great Commission. Verse 14, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents and they will drink anything deadly. It will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's called the Great Commission. That is what we are all commissioned to do. That's what we are all called to do. When you say, what am I called to? Sons and daughters, just like we were singing up here. We are his sons and daughters. Sons and daughters do what their fathers do. And he has said, sons and daughters, go into the world and preach to every creature. And when I look down at 18, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. You have protection. When you took that blood, it was a remembrance of what he did on that cross, that he's protecting you. And so that's his will for you. His will isn't that you struggle anymore with those things that you nailed up there. His will isn't that you would feel guilty over that. Oh, well, I feel like doing this. Well, don't do it. You don't go by your feelings. You go by what this says is right and what this says is wrong. And so when you go home tonight, if something tries to creep back up on you that you hammered to this cross, anger, depression, you say, get your hands off me, devil. I'm the Lord's. You don't entertain those thoughts. If it starts to go into what you think might have happened, or did it really happen this way, and you keep analyzing things and going over and letting your mind go back to that place, you shut it off. I remember there was a time in my life where I did what I would consider a really bad sin. And I beat myself up over and over and over and over. And I just couldn't let go. The Lord had let go. The Lord had forgiven me. The people I hurt had forgiven me. But it was me holding me back from letting go. And so the Lord took me back to that place because I kept bringing myself back anyway. So he said, let me go back. I'm there with you. Imagine me in the room with you. Imagine my blood being poured over that situation. Now look back. All I could see was just this blood being poured down over that situation. And that's what he did. And that was the representative of tonight, nailing these things to the cross. That he's pouring his blood over that sin. He's pouring his blood over that fear, over that anxiety, over that sickness, and saying, I don't see it. It's not there anymore. But it takes us, by faith, saying, I receive it. I believe it. And turning around and walking the other way. If I'm driving a car but looking in the rearview mirror, I'm not going to go anywhere fast. Or safe, for that matter. And the rearview mirror, how big is it? It's this big. How big is the windshield? It's this big. Your past is nothing. It's small. You can look back in it, learn from it, decide what to change, but that was a glance in the rearview mirror to make sure everything's good back there. You look forward when you're driving. So if you're wanting to go forward, don't look backwards. Don't look back at that thing you nailed up there. And if the enemy tries to bring it up, don't feel guilty, like, oh, I'm still thinking about it. The enemy tries to get in your thoughts, but you have power in your words. So you say, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. And so that's what we did tonight. We nailed it. But what you need to do for each day forward is move forward, to walk forward, to renew your mind to these scriptures that said, and Joel, you will dream dreams, you will have visions, you will prophesy. That's you. That's each and every one of you. If you want it, you have it. The Great Commission. You will heal the sick. They will recover. You will drink poison. It won't hurt you. That's you. None of these things can move you unless you let it. And so tonight, the band, we're going to begin to play one more song or two or whatever you're led to do. But as you worship, like Kylie had said, worship's the outward expression of that inward posture towards the Lord. And so not looking around, seeing what the other friends are doing. I saw people start to spread out. I saw people start to get on the floor. This isn't about what your friends are doing. This isn't about if you're comfortable or not. This is about you expressing to the Lord how thankful you are that he did this for you. This is you being bold. If you can't be bold in here, I don't know where you can be bold. This is the safest place, in my opinion, to be bold for him. So let this be a time where you do something bold for him. If that's jumping around when you're used to sitting down, if that's raising your hands high when you're used to just doing it kind of low, whatever that is, push yourself to that next place of boldness. Exercise, practice. Get yourself comfortable with being uncomfortable. What do I mean by that? Tonight, Pastor Kim said, are you ready, Jen? And I said, well, my usual notes. I don't have the usual notes. And so Jen, the planner, is a little uncomfortable because I'm not sure what the plan is. But I know the Lord did that on purpose because he's training me not to rely on my notes, not to rely on my planning, but to rely on him. And so there's some things we've done that I didn't think of till a couple hours ago or think of when I got here or that he just told me to do as I'm sitting here. But that's the way our lives should be lived. Not that we have it so planned out that we don't pause to listen to him and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to act? How do you want me to respond? And so tonight, as we finish these last couple songs, let this be your time with him, pushing everything else aside, focusing up onto him. When you get your eyes off of the circumstances and up onto him, when you look back down, it looks different. Your perspective changes. So let this be a time between you and the Lord, doing something to show him, Lord, this is my commitment to you. Lord, I want to be bold for you. And he, the power in you is what's going to push you. It's what's going to propel you. It's what's going to make you do these things, allow you to do these things. So if you all stand with me.
1440 is a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. For more information or if you have any questions about what you have heard here, visit 1440.com or email staff@1440.com.